This morning's reading is from Proverbs chapter 15, verse 18, for the first one. Those who are hot-tempered stir up strife, but those who are slow to anger calm contention. The next would be Romans 12, verses 9 through 21. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Pursue hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be arrogant, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
As you read that, Sheldon, I thought we should record it sometime. It's almost like a talking picture frame, right? For when people are just kind of not quite sure how to behave. You could just replay those verses from Romans on what's expected of us and what we should do, right? Wouldn't that be fun if it was like motion activated? Like you just kind of walked by this pretty picture and it said, "Do not repay evil with evil." Oh, yeah. We'll work on that. See, I have a lot of good ideas. Stick with me. Yeah. But today we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. May our focus return to you, and may we be enlightened by your love this day. This we pray in your name. Amen. So it's our fourth and final week of the Fruit of the Spirit, and we didn't sing the song today, but you can sing it all week if you'd like. I did hear something about a coconut and a banana earlier, so I'm sure that it's stuck in some of your minds. But this fruit of the Spirit, we have to remember, is one fruit with many attributes, not nine different pieces. But they're all of these attributes, this one fruit, is an opportunity for us to understand God better and to see a reflection of God in each piece. From Galatians chapter 5, it says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit." Today we're at the last two attributes, patience and self-control. How patient you were to wait for these, right? Yeah. Yeah, it's probably not coincidental that these two come at the end of our list. After we've already walked together through love and faithfulness, joy and peace, kindness, goodness, and gentleness. The fruit of the Spirit, this precious gift, is like love being a wrapper, holding everything else inside, and an opportunity for us to see that there is more to love than just gentleness or goodness or faithfulness. But also loved through us is patience and self-control. In Colossians 3:12, it says, if we are to live as a new creation, live a new life in Christ, we are to clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. They say it really helps the sermon if you can give an example from your own life. Well, I've got like 150 examples of when patience didn't work for me, or when it didn't show up. In fact, I've never really been credited with being a patient person. I attempt self-control. Sometimes I'm better at it than others. But I don't have a good example for you today of when patience has worked well in my life. That's one I'm still working on. So thank goodness they're not separate gifts, right? But all one gift with different angles. Yeah. This idea that the Holy Spirit has imparted to us this gift of attributes, is an opportunity for us to not only reflect God, but to enlighten the world as if we were like, well, picture this. A ball with 9 sides. That's probably not even a real shape, but think of it anyway, right? And inside it is like that candle we hold at Christmas, right? And these 9 sides are like the globe of that candle. That's the light of Christ, God's light that shines through us and out into the world. It gives us an opportunity to illuminate God's light through different angles or different colors, right? That's how I like to think of this. But as pretty and as fun and as beautiful and happy feeling as that can be, we have to remember that this list that we're presented, these attributes, this Holy Spirit gift, was given in contrast to something. First, Paul, in his letter to Galatians, says you need to turn away from sin. He was telling the people that you can be great people, but you have to walk away from some of the stuff that you're doing. That you need to turn away from sins of the flesh and walk away from things like impurity and jealousy and anger. Now, it's easy, I think, for some of us to come up with a list of like the really bad sins of the world, right? Ooh, that would be a fun game, huh? Everybody write down the worst sin you can think of and throw it in a bowl, right? Yeah, but we forget that some of our everyday actions are also on that list. Anger, jealousy, quarreling. It's not just being lost to drunkenness or carousing, but we're supposed to turn away from all of those things. Basically, anything that points you away from God, turn around, right? It's like there's that, you know, the no U-turn sign you see when driving? Yeah. It's like that sign doesn't exist. The sign that's always up is U-turn's okay. Turn back. It's okay. As you turn away from actions that hurt others or are on this list that Paul's created or that we can create, we're invited to turn back to Spirit acts. Acts of the heart. In other words, you don't have enough energy for a good Sunday morning if you've used too much of your energy on Saturday night. Maybe that correlation doesn't work for you, but that's an image I can understand, right? We can't pour all that we are into one cup and then expect all the other cups to be filled. There's not enough of us to go around. But that what was created in us is enough for God to use if we keep it turned towards God. In the benediction of the last 3 weeks, and the one that you're going to hear again today, it was written by Donald Barnhouse, and he describes the fruit of the Spirit as all springing out of this one well of love. And he says, patience is love enduring. Self-control is love holding the reins. Both of those terms to me sound like holding back, like stick-to-itness, sticking it out through something difficult. Now, I will admit, I do have an example. There was a time in my life that was difficult, and I prayed for patience. I was very excited about what God could do by teaching me patience in that situation. I asked God for help and said, I just need some patience. I was ready to charge ahead, and others weren't. And I prayed that God would give me the patience to wait for them. And I will tell you that was one of the silliest prayers I ever did pray. You know what happens when you pray for patience, don't you? Oh, let the waiting begin and never end. I don't know if I thought that I would get exactly what I wanted if I prayed for patience, or that somehow this time learning patience would be easier, quicker, more fun, right? Enlightening, faster than I could have done on my own, right? Maybe God would do it in the time frame that I thought suitable, and then I would have learned patience. Yeah, it didn't work. Have you heard God is not a vending machine? Yeah. My prayer for patience continued long after I had given up. My opportunity to learn patience continued long after I had moved on, and long after I had started in another direction. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul talks about love, and he offers that love is patient. It's the first thing he says, in fact. Love is patient. I guess when you choose to love someone, you must understand that their ways are not your ways, and that you must endure or hold back the reins on some of your own ideas and give space for theirs. Friends, our humanness is frail. We can break. Our bodies desire for us to demonstrate self-control. You know, I grew up with the understanding, everything in moderation. Have you heard that? Lived that? Yeah. I don't see that fitting here in Paul's writing today. Kind of bugged me, because I really like it when everything I've learned before is exactly what should move on forward in life, right? Then it's easy. But reading Paul's writing today, I don't see that everything in moderation works anymore. Sounds like there are some things that we need to do a hard, fast cut of to get away from, some ugly. That some actions are harmful, even if done just once. That in order for us to truly live out the gift of the Holy Spirit, we have to continue to desire for ourselves and for others this patience and self-control and not causing harm to others. Patience and self-control speak to how we are to react to God's people and to ourselves. Maybe that's why we're talking about them last. After you've done all the fun stuff, gentleness and goodness, generosity, that's the fun stuff, right? Now you have to have patience and act controlled so that when we have obstacles in front of us, we approach them with those other parts of the fruit of the Spirit first. But remember that they have to also be accompanied by self-control and patience, that we must act slowly and wait until our anger or our bitterness or our jealousy or our challenge subsides in us. You know, sometimes in the Bible, they pair patience with tolerance. And I can understand and make that correlation, but I have to just stop sometimes when I read that and think, yes, but there are times in life where we need to say stop. If we're being harmed by another or we are harming others, then neither patience nor tolerance is appropriate in that situation. We are not to endure acts of cruelty or violence or cause them for another. That means we kind of understood the fruit of the Spirit wrong. It should be a gift. And yes, sometimes we have to wait for the fruition of a gift. And sometimes waiting is the hardest part, especially if you're one who is suffering, waiting for a cure, if you're left in a situation where the only word you keep uttering is why. Patience might not be the gift you're wanting to endure. But in those times, we have to remember that a patient person, according to Pastor Lloyd, a patient person knows the shortness of time and the length of eternity, and that patience is really faith in action. As you can well imagine, I read that and I was inspired because I like action. Someone who understood me, patience isn't always about waiting, but faith in action. I thought, ooh, right? That resonates. I like moving for the sake of God. I like doing for the sake of God. I don't like waiting or sitting or being for the sake of God. I try it sometimes. Really, I do. Right? But when there's something that can be done that could benefit God's people, ooh, I want to move, right? If we are to be patient and bearing with each other in love and forgiving whatever grievances you may have against one another, we are to forgive as the Lord forgave you, it says in the Bible. It says we must act with self-control, having power over our body's desires and passions. We're told that we're to let that the lack of self-control could destroy your life. Perhaps our greatest exposure to self-control is in the words that we just said a few minutes ago in the Our Father prayer, right? When we ask God and we say, do not lead us into temptation. Like, give us the strength to not do the wrong thing, right? I've never thought of it that way. I always thought of it more of a path, dimly lit, with really exciting things along the sides, right? Fireworks, yeah. But maybe in that prayer, when we say, do not lead us into temptation, we're really saying, give us the strength to walk away from bad choices. Maybe it's an acknowledgement that our hearts don't always feel like we have the ability to pull ourselves back or refrain without God's intervention. Dear friends, I pray that you will want to live a new life in Christ, and that like Paul is calling us to do in the book of Romans, that we renew the characteristics implanted by God in God's creation, and that we would demonstrate what the Holy Spirit has offered to us, the Holy Spirit who accompanies us in this journey of life, that we might set our minds on the desires of the Spirit and not on the sinful desires. For we are one body with many parts, connected as we attempt to live out the marks of Christianity, to do no harm, to avoid evil, and to do good in every possible way. John Wesley calls it moving towards perfection. A full inclusion and demonstration of the love that God has put within you and the opportunity that you have to love and serve. That we are called to live out the gift of the fruit of the Spirit, beginning with love and ending with self-control. May you and I live out the presence of God in this world by reflecting the attributes of God through our lives. May we embody the fruit of the Spirit and act with self-control and live in patience with ourselves and with each other. With God's help, may we be watered and may we be fed in such a way that our likeness reflects the fruit of the Spirit this day and always. Amen.